Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Good to have you on board. Our social media is hopping right now. Why? Because we all love food. And because breakfast foods appeal to many of us. And as we kick off a series of categories, one over the next 4 nights, we have essentially decided we're going to do our own Final Four since we don't get college basketball Final Four this week. And I know I'm missing it like you are. And it's difficult to do brackets for all these categories, though many other media outlets, sports TV and radio, are doing their own types of brackets over the course of March and which would have been March Madness. But I decided it was A, too complicated, and B, there are plenty of other brackets out there if you want to play those games. I've even seen some announcer brackets or sports radio host brackets. Nah, I figure instead we will do some other categories that appeal to our listeners. And one of those, of course, is food. And we've narrowed it down to your final four breakfast foods on this edition of the show. So you can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And I had to step away from social media for a few minutes because I was doing my CBS Sports Minute. Excuse me one second. Sorry, my cat. All up in my grill and all up in my stuff all the time. There are animals everywhere. I don't think they've gotten used to me talking all night yet because they're still hanging out wondering what in the world is going on. But at least Penny smells better. That was some good news for me on Monday. I was able to drop her off for a bath and she got groomed. She came home smelling pretty with a cute little bandana. There are photos up on Twitter and Facebook if you want to check it out. No, she's not making a cameo on the show right now. She's snoring. Anyway, so excuse me for that. I just had to deal with the monster cat for a second. But you can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page named after the show. And I'll continue to read through a bunch of your posts because right now we can all bond over food, can't we? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Wherever I go, the studio goes with me. That's kind of how it operates right now. And once I open up this file on my computer, oh my gosh, sometimes this piece of equipment that I'm using. So it's called a Comrex. For those of you who have any familiarity with radio or audio equipment, it's called a Comrex. And I've used this type of a unit before when I go on the road for basketball games because it can access Wi-Fi. You can use it to broadcast whether you're plugged into a router or you just have Wi-Fi access. So my little Comrex unit is plugged into my Wi-Fi here at, not my Wi-Fi, sorry, my router here at home, which means that sometimes my internet is running slowly. And when I need to open a file to read something to you, the laptop is not cooperating, but we're good now. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. So we'll get back to your final four in breakfast foods. And you're welcome to call us as well. I don't think we've taken a call on this edition of the show. We did speak to longtime NFL player rep Kelly Masters, really informative conversation with her about not only her current NFL players and how they feel about the new collective bargaining agreement, but also her young players, her young guys that are just coming out of college and trying to go through this draft process that is unlike any other. So it's really good to talk with Kelly, and we'll bring back part of that interview in our final hour of the show. But of course, you can always go back and listen to anything that you missed or that you would like to share. You can do that afterhoursamielawrence.com with our podcast that is still updated every weekday morning. Well, we're talking about football a little bit. We don't have the audio from this, but I thought it was worth mentioning. Jason Light, who is the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, actually did an interview in which he said that it was Tom Brady who pitched himself to the Tampa Bay Bucs. And when they had their phone call, it was actually Tom Brady who did most of the talking. So that's interesting, right? We had talked about this a little bit going back, I don't know, maybe a week ago. Gosh, all the dates are kind of blending together now. But we had kind of asked the rhetorical question of whether or not we believed Brady had made the decision to leave the Patriots because of the Patriots. Or did he make the decision to leave the Patriots because of the Bucs? So did Brady decide he was done in New England even before he had a new team? Or did he find himself a new home and then think, okay, you know what? I do actually think that'll be a better situation than New England, so I'm willing to walk.
I have no knowledge of anything.
Yeah, right. His dad, however, is talking away. So this is what Jason Light of the Buccaneers said. That he had his first phone call. He and Bruce Arians had their first phone call with Brady on March 18th. It was the first day of free agency. And that it was Tom Brady who was actually selling them on why he would fit with the Bucs. Now that seems to indicate that Brady had already decided by that point that he was leaving New England. He still had to find a future NFL home, though. So, going back to this phone call, Jason says they all had a really good conversation, that they talked to Tom for an hour and a half. And he made it clear, I'm reading this quote now from Jason Light, he was on ESPN on Monday. He made it clear in the conversation that he was very, very interested. It was almost like a recruitment on his part, telling us why it would make sense for him to come to Tampa Bay. Huh. I mean, if you're looking for answers to your questions, who precipitated this? When did Tom Brady decide he was leaving New England? Which came first, the chicken or the egg, the decision to leave, or the Buccaneers' pitch? This pretty much gives you an indication of the timeline. And combine this information from Jason Light with what Bruce Arians said last week. Remember, he did a conference call and did a bunch of different interviews. Arians said that they didn't realize, or I guess didn't really grasp onto the concept that Tom Brady was actually going to join the Buccaneers until he made the announcement on social media that he was leaving New England. So until then, they were kind of up in the air. But do you know what? That was inside that legal tampering period. Light is saying the first time they spoke to Tom Brady was actually March 18th, which was the start of the new league year. All right, so I'm looking at my calendar now just so I can kind of outline this for you. March 16th, which was a Monday, so it was 2 weeks ago. And on March 16th, I think it was 4 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock Pacific time, but it would have been 4 o'clock Tampa time and 4 o'clock New England time. That was the start of legal tampering. If I'm not mistaken, and Dave, if you want to confirm this, but I feel like I remember this correctly. When I woke up on March 17th, which was Tuesday, Tom Brady had made the announcement. My phone had blown up. He had told the world he was leaving New England, but he hadn't indicated where he was going. Jason Light is saying that he and Bruce Arians had their first conversation with Tom Brady the next day. So I want to make sure that I've got this right, that they had two conversations with him. One of them was on March 18th, which was Wednesday. The very next phone call they had was when they signed him. But he said it was the first call on March 18th when they realized, whoa, we're actually going to add Tom Brady to our roster. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, if you hear Bruce Arians and Jason Light speak after the fact, which they have, they did on the conference call to introduce Brady as their new quarterback. Has ever a guy needed less of an introduction? But they both indicated that he was their top quarterback option in free agency, of course. I mean, any team who needed a quarterback was likely to go ahead and target Brady, at least to put feelers out there. So they had already looked at it, the situation, even before they spoke with Brady, and said, yeah, that's a guy that we'd like to bring in house. That's a guy that we feel like would add leadership and what Bruce Arians termed a winning culture. He brings winning. That's his legacy. That's his track record. It's winning. So yes, we need to add that to our locker room, one that hasn't made the postseason since 2007. So we're talking about more than a decade now since the Bucs had last played in the postseason. But it's kind of interesting to hear Jason Light say this was actually a pitch that was initiated by Brady. This was a match made in heaven in which Brady proposed.
I feel that everyone in New England is probably having a crappy day today.
I don't know if this makes Patriots fans feel better or worse. I'm not sure at this point if you are brokenhearted to see Tom Brady leave. Well, then I don't know that this makes it worse. But what do I know? I'm not a Patriots fan. So I guess you can tell me if this makes you feel worse. But it certainly does sound like Brady determined he was leaving based on his conversations with Bill Belichick, Bob Kraft, maybe the offer that they posed to him, which we now know was far less than the $30 million per year the Bucks have signed him to. But the order of events, according to Jason Light, is first Tom Brady announced he was leaving New England. That was on Tuesday, March 17th. Second, he had a phone call with Light and Bruce Arians the next day, in which he pitched himself as the right guy to run their offense. So there's the answer, at least the answer to the question I've been wondering, which came first? Well, Brady decided he was leaving New England before he had another home in the NFL. He didn't like what New England had to offer. And even before he knew what the Bucs might offer, or what the Chargers might offer. Remember, the Chargers also had an opportunity to speak with him. Before he knew what those two teams would offer up to him as a free agent QB, he already announced he was done in New England. So Brady bet on himself here. Now, obviously, his agent had done his due diligence and had kind of reached out to the various teams that might be in need of quarterbacks. But if you take Jason Light's word for it, it wasn't until Wednesday, March 18th, that they actually had a chance to talk to him. Now, that's different than what we've seen reported. Dave reminds me, and I do remember, that it was later on that Tuesday night, March 17th, in which the reports were already out there that he was heading to Tampa Bay. That's not what Jason Light says. Maybe it's just, it was the obvious. Maybe there were insiders who were connecting dots. Maybe some of these NFL insiders knew that Brady had a conference call scheduled with Jason Light and Bruce Arians on Wednesday, March 18th. Or maybe Jason Light is remembering his dates wrong. But I kind of feel like the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers doesn't forget what day he first talked to the greatest quarterback in history and actually heard his pitch for joining the team. And Light is saying it was Wednesday. It was the date that they started free agency officially. And that was when they realized they had him, not before. And so there may have been some reports jumping the gun, kind of connecting the dots, even though the conversation, the recruiting phone call didn't take place until the next day. But regardless of the actual timing of that conversation, whoever you choose to believe, the, you know, the reports from NFL.com and others, or Jason Light's timeline, I think the overarching point, the answer to the question is that, yes, Tom Brady had decided he was leaving New England before he had a home anywhere else in the NFL. That decision came first. And then he found himself a new uniform. Creamsicle! 855-212-4CBS. I mean, it's kind of funny to think about Tom Brady pitching himself, but I love that he was professional about it and got onto that conference call with all kinds of reasons why the Bucs should hire him. I mean, that's what I would do. Not for an NFL team, but for another radio job or an NBA job. Here are all the reasons why you should hire me, and I would make my pitch too. Good for you, Tom Brady. Never count your chickens before they hatch. Never count your Buccaneers before they have tipped their sword.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shoot your shot. You miss 100% of the shots that you do not take, but it's kind of cool to hear Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians talk about the fact that they did their due diligence on Tom Brady and that they realized by Tuesday, St. Patrick's Day, like everybody else did, he made his announcement. He wasn't going back to the Patriots. And Bruce even says that we kind of figured that was the case because if he was going to sign with New England again, he would have done it before legal tampering started, before free agency began. And then you kind of look at that gap where Jason Light says our first big phone call with him was on Wednesday, the start of free agency. And that, you know, kind of in the middle, they must have been much more hopeful. They must have been getting really excited about their prospects and the possibility of signing him because they knew he wasn't going back to New England. And they were only competing then with a couple of other teams around the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hashtag your final four. Breakfast foods. That's the first of our final four categories this week as we pay homage to what would have been one of the most exciting weeks in college hoops. It's really the culmination of March Madness. So I recognize this is a weak and poor substitute, but I love breakfast foods. Judging by your tweets and your Facebook posts, you also love breakfast foods. So your final four. Breakfast foods, A-Law Radio on Twitter or our Facebook page. James has a final four that includes country ham, hash browns, scattered, smothered, chunked pecan waffles. I've never heard a breakfast food with such a long name. Scattered, smothered, chunked pecan waffle. And then cheesy eggs is what he says. Susan on Facebook. Real blueberry pancakes with real maple syrup. Is there any other kind? Eggs anyway. Bacon and hash browns. Hashtag final four breakfast. David on Facebook. First person to mention any seafood associated with breakfast. He says lobster, eggs, Benedict, home fries, bacon and toast, and lots of coffee. Of course, except I no longer think of coffee as a breakfast food because I drink coffee. Well, I drink it before I start the show. I drink it in the afternoon when I wake up. And so for me, yes, it definitely is a food slash substance. It's a it's a drug that we use along with our breakfast foods many times. However, I drink it at other times of the day. So I guess I no longer associate it specifically with breakfast. So lots of you weighing in on our Facebook page. Tim says crab cake Benedict. Whoa. Pastrami and scrambled egg sandwich on a hard roll. Never heard of that either. Fresh biscuits and sausage gravy over hash browns and eggs. I mean, he goes all out. His final four breakfast foods are meals, each one of them. Drunken French toast made with Grand Marnier and Meyer's rum. I probably said that wrong. Fresh whipped cream and bananas. So each of Tim's final four breakfast foods are humongous meals. let's see. Final Four breakfast foods is this category on After Hours. And while you're on our Facebook page, I did put a video up of the USNS Comfort that was departing Norfolk, Virginia on, I think it was Tuesday. Well, no, today would be Tuesday. So Sunday, Monday, and was headed to New York City. And it was pretty amazing to see it steam into New York Harbor on a Monday. So I just wanted you to see the video and how massive this ship is. All right, so back to our breakfast foods because we bounce all over the place here on After Hours. Let's see. Tina says mocha latte. Okay, if that's your breakfast food, fresh squeezed juice, fresh ahi eggs Benedict. So ahi meaning ahi tuna? Dave, have you ever had ahi eggs Benedict?
No, I most certainly have not.
So I guess we do have some fish and seafood options among our breakfast foods. She goes on to say fresh ahi eggs Benedict with fresh squeezed Meyer lemons. Wow, you guys are very specific. And then fresh fruit. Yes, another great breakfast option that did not make my final four because I went with pretty much all carbs along with my eggs. Marty on Facebook, sausage, mushroom, and cheese omelet. Sounds delicious. Bacon, hash browns, scallion covered, French toast. I feel like Marty just described the massive breakfast that you could get at any local diner. They'll give you all of that for about $6. And it would be tasty and fill you up for the rest of the day. Robert on Facebook, oatmeal, egg whites. No egg whites. That takes all the good stuff out of the eggs. No, egg whites are like having a fake Christmas tree or a gas grill. I have some things. A good New Hampshire girl that I cannot do. I cannot use a fake Christmas tree. It's not real. It doesn't smell good. What's the point of having a Christmas tree if it doesn't smell good? So I go through the process. It is an exhaustive process of getting a real Christmas tree, getting it to my house. Have you ever tried putting up a Christmas tree in a Christmas tree stand all by yourself? Oh, yeah, it makes for some comical videos, none of which I would ever share with you and would ever let anyone video it anyway. Every now and then, there might be a swear word associated with putting up a Christmas tree in this tree stand all by myself, if I'm being perfectly honest. But fake Christmas trees are a no-no. Gas grills, got to be charcoal. And also egg whites. Negative, Ghost Rider. But this is Robert's breakfast list, so I digress. Robert, oatmeal, egg whites, ham, and cereal. Bob on Facebook, hash browns, Canadian maple back bacon, scrambled eggs, thick sliced, WW toast. Wait, Dave, what am I missing? What's WW toast? Whole wheat, duh. Sorry about that. I need Dave to interpret Facebook for me. Let's see. Chad says, in honor of my favorite meal of the day, scrambled eggs with cheese, mushrooms, and a dollop of sour cream. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Chicken sausage or Wright brand bacon, blueberry waffles. Yum. I prefer pancakes, but okay. And then home style hash browns with onions. Add French press coffee and orange juice and I'm ready. I don't know, Chad. The jury might decide that that's more than your final four. Other people are having to actually put in their coffee as one of the options. It's your final four. David uses a term I've never heard before. Dippy eggs. Dippy. Dave, have you ever used the term dippy eggs?
No, I think we're reinventing the English language here this morning.
Dippy eggs. I wonder how many times I have to say that before I stop laughing at it. I think what he means are, like sunny side up eggs that you can dunk your toast in. But I've never heard the term dippy eggs. I'm going to use that. If I ever have kids, I'm going to use it. I'm going to call it dippy eggs for breakfast. Bacon, home fries, and then 12 grain bread toasted. So your final four breakfast foods. See, it's not only making me hungry, it's making you hungry, but it's also bringing us together and giving us a common bracket that we can all enjoy.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Dave's selection of music lends me to believe that he may use breakfast tacos as one of his final four breakfast foods. But Dave, are you ready to weigh in with your final four on the breakfast food chart?
I most certainly am. There are no tacos, even though I love a good taco. I just want everyone to know how many views that video has on YouTube. How many views do you think that video has on YouTube?
It's a video of dancing tacos?
It's raining dancing tacos.
Okay. Gosh, I feel like people have nothing better to do right now but to watch stupid videos on YouTube. So I'll say 1.5 million.
37 million.
Shut up.
Right.
Shut up. Wait, when was that video posted?
Oh, let me double check.
Oh my gosh. 37 million. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's insane. I mean, great. It's better than watching, I don't know, some of the other stuff that's out there, but oh my gosh.
7 years ago, so it's actually been around for a long time. But
still, I mean, you think about it, 7 going into 37 is, I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about like 5+ million views a year.
Just over 5 million views a year. That's insane. But no raining tacos or any type of tacos on my breakfast list. So I personally, I have coffee with every breakfast, so I don't count it in the meal, but I drink coffee with every meal, essentially.
Okay.
But Eggs Benedict is one of my personal favorites. I've always eaten it since I was a kid, so that's got to be on the list. I'm a big French toast guy.
You're going to get mad at me. I don't actually know what makes it an Eggs Benedict. Would you please describe it to me?
Sure. So it's essentially a poached egg on top of Canadian bacon. You can use ham, but it's generally Canadian bacon, and then an English muffin. And then there's a hollandaise sauce that goes on the top that makes it all that together, makes it an Eggs Benedict technically.
Huh. Okay.
French toast, but it's got to be like thick bread. It can't be like your regular old bread. Just won't work for
like
a good
Texas
French toast.
Yeah.
Something like, you know, challah bread or something thicker like that.
Mm-hmm.
Pancakes, but they have to be blueberry. I mean, you can put all sorts of fruit in your pancakes, but a big blueberry pancake guy. I mean, you could throw ice cream on any of this, but, you know, we'll keep it simple. And then I'm surprised no one has mentioned a hungry man sandwich. This is basically everything that is breakfast, that's great about breakfast, all in one hero. It's eggs, cheese, and then every breakfast meat you could think of. It's bacon, sausage, ham, and you can get creative. You could add any breakfast meat you want all into one sandwich on a gigantic hero. Hot sauce, anything you want to add to it is okay, but it has every breakfast meat known to man.
I mean, you pack a meal into your breakfast. Yeah.
The best meal of the day.
No, it definitely is. And the fact that you can have that meal at any time and no one is allowed to give you a dirty look, that's my favorite thing about breakfast is its versatility. Not only the number of foods that we can consider breakfast foods, but also the time of the day that we can eat breakfast foods. And I love when you go to a diner and they serve breakfast all day long.
That is a good point.
Wait, I'm waiting for Dave to be like, yes, that's great.
No, that's a good point. I was just thinking about it. You can eat breakfast at any time of day, anywhere. And if you go to a 24-hour diner that makes good food, you have to go in there and order breakfast. I mean, there's 8,000 pages generally on a diner menu, but I always flip directly to breakfast.
Yeah, that's true. A really good diner pretty much offers every single food option known to man. But yes, the breakfast is what diners are known for, at least the ones in my area. All right, Dave, those are great options. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you have zero idea what we're talking about, you're just tuning in on this Tuesday morning. We are asking you to name your final four breakfast foods. So in honor of this week, which would normally be the countdown to the final four and the preview of what is one of the greatest stages in all of sports, well, we're doing a bit of a different twist. We're talking about the final four, but we're giving you various categories. So it's the final four breakfast foods. And by the way, we've got multiple regions of the country that are claiming dippy eggs. Right after I read the Facebook post from David Sugar, get down. No one needs you to be up in my grill. Go. Get. Gosh. This cat could be a gymnast. Right after I read the post from David on Facebook about dippy eggs, Anthony tweets us and says, dippy eggs is a Pittsburgh thing. It's just over easy or over medium eggs. And then right on the heels of Anthony's tweet comes Marilyn's Facebook post. Dippy eggs is a well-known Texas favorite. So apparently it's prominent in more parts of the country than what I anticipated. She says, dippy eggs, as in pancake sandwich, pancake with a dippy egg on top, sausage on the side. So different parts of the country have dippy eggs that are presented in a variety of ways. But yeah, whatever. It's eggs, so I love it. It's pancakes. In the case of Maryland, she's got the window dressing with the pancakes and with the sausage. So it sounds awesome. Let's see. We'll go back to Twitter here. A-Law Radio. Your final four breakfast foods. Jonathan says, guess I'm just a simple country man. He qualifies it. Biscuits and gravy, patty sausage. I do love patty sausage or sausage links. That's actually number four on my list is sausage. Bacon for Jonathan, and then scrambled eggs. I mean, that sounds perfect. Those are staples to be sure. Let's see. Another tweet from Mr. Wilson. Bacon and pancakes. Bacon and pancakes. All right. It's not a combination that I usually do, but what doesn't bacon go with? Shrimp and grits. Beignets. How do you say that word, Dave? Do you know? Beignets. If it's French, I'm not great at it. Beignet. Okay. So Spanish, okay. French, not so much. Beignet from Cafe Du Monde. And then egg and rice. Here's another person with rice in their breakfast menu.
Nope.
I've never heard of rice. And I have a sister-in-law who's Filipino. She grew up in the Philippines, so she eats rice with every meal except breakfast. I've never seen her eat rice at breakfast. But whatever, this is your final four breakfast. So he says egg and rice with sausage. Oh. Dave eats everything, Mr. Wilson. Don't let him fool you. He'll eat it if it's in front of him. Let's see. Russell, pancakes, hash browns, scrambled eggs, sausage. Yes, great staples. Okay, here, Dave, you're going to love this. When people come up with the funniest stuff. Patrick, now his first three are fine. Biscuits and gravy, chicken fried steak and eggs. That was something they ate a lot in Oklahoma when I lived there. Ham and cheese scrambled. But then listen to number four. French toast with vanilla extract.
I mean, you put it in the mix that you dip the toast into. No, that's like one ingredient amongst many that he just
vanilla extract
just decided to throw in there. Like
it's
it was
like
necessary.
Saying, yeah, it's like saying I'm going to have my fruit smoothie with almond milk. Or, I don't know, vanilla extract, which is what I bake with. I've never used it with my French toast before, but hey, it takes all kinds of food to feed the world. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Josh says, I'm simple, bacon, eggs, grits, and toast. Megan, Irish eggs, Benedict, bacon and eggs, stuffed French toast, pan-fried bagels. Man alive, right now thinking about the eggs and the bagels. I'm thinking about my favorite little... Shoot, I don't even know what you would call it. It's a bodega, really, in New York City. It's in Lower Manhattan, and you know, it's a kind of convenience store items, but there's also a counter where they serve food, and they start pretty early in the morning, and they've got the best sausage and egg and cheese bagels. Oh my gosh! And just to see it cooking on the stove in front of me, and then handed to me, it's absolutely delicious. So goodness, I guess I don't miss the commute and driving about 40 minutes each way, and sometimes in traffic that gives me road rage. But I definitely do miss some of the comforts of comforts and conveniences of being around the CBS Sports Radio headquarters. 855-212-4227. Did I already do the Geico, Dave? This hour? CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Our final four breakfast foods, and even as you continue to send them to Twitter, A-Law Radio, or to our Facebook page, while we're talking about Final Four and the NCAA and March Madness, the powers that be at the NCAA came up with Well, they came up with a resolution because there was a lot of talk about whether or not athletes who were missing either the end of their basketball seasons or their entire spring sports seasons, whether or not they should be offered an extra year of eligibility. Now, keep in mind that athletes are not all athletes are going to take the eligibility. The majority of college athletes are actually students first. The majority of college athletes are going to graduate in 4 years and are going to move on to their careers. And that does apply to some basketball players, and it also applies to some football players. But if you think about the other sports out there, tennis, gymnastics, softball, baseball, lacrosse, field hockey, regular hockey or ice hockey, sorry. I could go on and on. The point is that the majority of college athletes, they use their 4 years of eligibility and then they move on to their careers that are outside the world of sports. And I know there are some exceptions, of course, if an athlete gets injured and decides to redshirt or in some cases, even a sixth year because they get granted, a waiver and an extra year of eligibility. But for the most part, athletes finish up and they move on. So not every athlete is going to want to stay in school for another year, even though it was really painful to lose their last opportunity to compete in their spring sport. Not every senior is going to want to pay for it. Well, I guess it depends on where you go. If you're a scholarship, maybe they extend your scholarship, sure, because you have an extra year of eligibility, but do you have enough classes to take? Do you even want to stay in school for another year? In some cases, many seniors have already been offered jobs at this point. The one senior that's on the Columbia women's basketball team that I work with already has a job lined up. And that was at the end of basketball season. She didn't have a chance to compete in the Ivy League tournament for the first time, but she's not going to stick around for another year because she's already got a job and she's graduating. So again, this doesn't apply to every athlete, but what the NCAA Division I Council decided is that all student athletes in spring sports will be granted an extra year of eligibility after their seasons were canceled in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. And it's actually not just applicable to seniors. So the NCAA is saying that if you are a freshman or a sophomore or a junior and you lost your entire spring season, so essentially you lost an entire year under which you would have been eligible to play sports, we're now going to give you that extra year of eligibility. So it's not just open to seniors, but I feel like it applies more, or the seniors are the ones that you think would be most affected by the fact that these sports were canceled, and that the seniors would be the ones who wouldn't have that closure, wouldn't have an opportunity to finish and to use all of the preparation, all the wisdom, all the experience that they've accumulated over, the course of their time in school. So it is open to other classes, but seniors are the ones that I feel like it will most affect. But the NCAA is going to allow schools to expand their roster. So they're going to say, hey, you're not limited moving forward, I guess it would be the next 3 years. You're not limited moving forward as long as you've got people on your roster that are under this policy, that have decided to take that extra year of eligibility because of the coronavirus. You're allowed to have an extra few scholarships on your roster to account for these athletes who decide to stick around for one more year. That way you don't have to say to your incoming recruits, oh, sorry, we don't have room for you anymore. So they're going to allow the current scholarship limits to kind of fall by the wayside for this period so that you can have incoming recruits. You can, if there are seniors who decide to stay and maybe take a few more classes or move on to grad classes, if they want to take advantage of the eligibility, they can. And then the NCAA is going to leave it up to each individual university to decide how they do, the financial aid and how they divvy up, the time when it comes to seniors. So it's at least a provision where schools are now allowed to include seniors as well as incoming recruits. And that way, there is the option for another year that this entire season, while it was wiped out, there is a way for athletes to recoup it. And here are the sports it applies to: baseball, softball, tennis, golf, outdoor track and field, lacrosse, rowing, men's volleyball, beach volleyball, and women's water polo. It does not include winter sports. So because the athletes played the majority, in some cases they finished, if they weren't going on to postseason play, they finished their spring or their winter season. So it doesn't include winter sports like basketball, hockey, swimming and diving, and gymnastics. So I didn't realize gymnastics was a winter sport. I guess I was thinking of it as a spring sport. Anyway, that's good news for some college athletes who feel like they have unfinished business and they could, in fact, stay in school.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.